119, beginning at verse 97, and that can be found on page 619 of the Pew Bibles. Oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. And this can be found on page 1182 in the Pew Bibles. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be I've had to promise my daughter I won't break her mirror this morning, so that's the stable table to keep it safe. Let's pray. Father God, may my words be those you want spoken. May our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds be open to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our passage of today from Paul's letter to the Colossians, which you can follow on page 1182 in the Church Bibles, continues our morning series of Christ in Colossians. And last week we looked at Christ discovered in the Colossian believers. And this week, as David said, we are looking at Christ proclaimed to everyone. Very briefly, a reminder that this letter was written by Paul, who was in prison, to the first generation of Christians, the church in Colossae. He is writing to them to remind them of the greatness of Jesus Christ and warning against some of the heresies that were emerging, particularly around the combinations of Greek thought, paganism, and other philosophies, which had become muddled with the true teaching of the gospel, particularly in denying Christ as God and Saviour. Now, if you were to write a letter to a friend to share your news about the greatness of Christ in your life, what would that look like, I wonder? Christ is proclaimed for everyone. How would you share that in order that everyone would know from your experience that Jesus is great? How would you write that in a letter? It may be that you're in a really good place with Jesus at the moment, and your letter would be oozing with comments about his greatness and what he has done in your life. It may be that you've been a Christian for many years, and it's all become a little bit stale and stagnant. And actually, when you go to put pen to paper, you struggle. How is Jesus great in my life when I'm feeling so flat and so far away from God? It may be that you have come here for the first time today wondering how this Jesus that died on a cross 2,000 years ago can possibly be anything in my life, let alone great. Or maybe you are a brand new Christian, you've had an amazing experience of Jesus, but wonder, how does that transfer into my everyday life? It was great at the festival I went to. It was great when I was lost in worship. But actually, walking down Tunbridge High Street, I just don't see it. I just don't feel it like I did then. I don't know where each one of you are today, but perhaps you fit into one of those categories, perhaps somewhere else. And I want to frame the time that we have this morning around us thinking about those final words in this passage in verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So how does Paul propose to ensure that everyone will be presented fully mature in Christ? If this message of Christ is to be proclaimed to everyone, then how is he possibly expecting them to be presented fully mature in Christ? And how can we take this message and also proclaim Christ to everyone and equally grow in our Christian faith from wherever it is that we're starting from? Now, sometimes maturity is associated with age, often thought of in terms of maturer years, perhaps, as my children would say, grey hair, which I guess would make me really mature. Maybe not. Perhaps sensible behaviour. Perhaps wise from life's highs and lows. Or perhaps maturity reminds you of a good wine, David. Or a good cheese. I don't know. What springs to mind when you think of maturity? Maturity in Christ is not necessarily any of these. And as we all come together, different ages, different experiences, different life stages and situations, we can all start on the road towards maturity in Christ from where we are today, not comparing yourself with others, not feeling inadequate where you are, but by embracing Jesus and making a conscious decision today to follow him and to keep following him. And this is where I propose we look at imitation, instruction, and examination. So to help you remember, I've brought this mirror for imitation. And here is my instruction manual for my washing machine. Instructions. And then I thought of examination. Look around you. Look at one another. Well, I thought, can I get a cardboard cutout of the congregation? And then decided, what better than the actual thing? And you're all here. So look around you. Examination. So first, imitation. And the reason that I chose a mirror was because we imitate what we see. How can we grow into fully mature Christians when we can't see God? None of us was born knowing everything and able to do everything. We grow and we learn best in a loving environment, in an environment where we see a behavior modeled. Babies with older siblings tend to copy those brothers and sisters and imitate what they do, not always for the right. We often hear the phrase like father, like son, or you are just like your mother. Maybe that goes down well, maybe it doesn't. It's inevitable that we imitate what we have seen, what we have grown up with within. Growing as a Christian, growing in knowing and understanding the greatness of Christ in your life is no different. So who are we to imitate to enable us to grow as Christians? And verse 15 says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God. Christ's physical body came to earth that we may know God, to know God in our lives. We look to Jesus to become more fully the people we were created to be. We need to imitate Jesus, our Creator, here before all things, and in him all things hold together. In Jesus, God's mystery is revealed." Have you ever found yourself thinking you know exactly what you should do or perhaps should have done in a situation? And then you read a passage in the Bible and it almost flips that on its head because Jesus didn't do it like that. Do you remember the bands that people wore a few years back? WWJD? I don't know if some of you might still have them even. What would Jesus do? Now let me give you an example of what this means in reality. Jesus healed the sick, forgave sins, walked on water, turned water into wine. Now, for most of us, these things don't come into everyday realities. And many of those came about because he is the Son of God. He is God. For us to imitate Christ, we look to see what Christ did, and we try to reflect that in our lives. He didn't just tell us to worship and praise God. He did it too. Feeding the 5,000, he gave thanks and broke bread. At the Last Supper, he gave thanks and broke bread, and later they sang a song of praise. Jesus too worshipped and praised God. We are to tell others what it means to be forgiven, just as Jesus taught us. We are to go and make disciples, just as Jesus did. We are to help the poor, just as Jesus did. We are to pray. We are to love our enemies. We are to honor our mother and father, just as Jesus did. We remember some of his last words were ensuring his mother would be cared for after his death. And the list goes on and on. When we look to Jesus, we can see who God is. When we look to Jesus, we see the perfect example of who we are seeking to become more like. When we imitate Jesus, we walk the path of becoming more and more Christ-like and growing towards becoming fully mature in Christ. And this passage reminds us who Jesus is, his supremacy, that we may totally understand who he is And we say in our creeds each week to remind us what it is, who it is we put our faith in. Do we believe? Do we actually hear those words that we say? Reminding ourselves who it is we are imitating and why it's so important that we imitate them. Not just anyone, but the Son of God, the head of the body of the church. And this is where the Colossians were in danger of it becoming misty. And with all the other teaching that was flying around, Paul wanted to draw them right back to the truth, to imitate Christ. Next, we come to my set of instructions. Now, I want you to hold this word instruction loosely. And you will see why I say that in a moment. When we have a book of instructions, we trust that when we come to use something new, this book will idiot-proof our walk through using it. Hopefully, there'll even be pictures in it to guide us. Turn on, press the button that looks like this, turn the knob to the right, clockwise to point four, put the powder in the left-hand drawer, and so on. We often want it to go another step further as well and explain exactly what should go in, what colour, how much. In fact, if we had our own way, I reckon we'd ask it to load itself, unload it and hang it on the line too, but that's maybe a stretch too far. We know it doesn't work like that, and it's the same when we read the Bible. We can imitate the behaviour, but where do we get our instructions for day-to-day living from? The Bible isn't an instruction manual in the same way as that manual is for my washing machine, the idiot's guide to washing. We aren't going to get a step-by-step guide to deal with life's everyday problems. This is why I say, hold instruction, the word instructions lightly. The Bible wasn't written in a time of the internet. Wasn't written in a time of credit cards or cars and so on, but it's written as the timeless word of God. Instead, we read the Bible to seek for God's wisdom, his wisdom to help us to work out how to approach the complexities of life. Now, if we'd hope to open the Bible and turn to page, say, 1074 and find the troubleshooting page, how to find the lost coin. Find a metal detector, wave it from left to right, and the coin is found. It just doesn't work like that, does it? And unfortunately, if we think it does, we can be disappointed when we don't find the straightforward answer we need for each and every situation that we're going to face. This is when we're using the Bible in the wrong way. Instead, if we look at the Bible and its overarching themes of God's love and justice, we see into the heart of his wisdom. God's wisdom crosses all boundaries of time, of culture, of geography, of ethnicity. It's not limited as the washing machine instructions are. When that model dies, throw it away, get another one, new set of instructions. This is the word of God speaking into our lives today. When we begin to understand that following Jesus is not about following a set of rules or reading an instruction manual to help us maintain our lives, but instead it's the inspired word of God where we meet God's love and justice through his interaction with humanity and for us to see on through into the living Jesus. The Bible shows God's act of reconciliation throughout its entirety. It's pointing towards, in the Old Testament, coming to fruition in Jesus and continuing to point towards the ultimate act of reconciliation. Now, as David pointed out in verse 21, it says, "Once you were alienated from God," then verse 23, "but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight." Once we were separated, and now we're reconciled, not through our own doing, but through Christ. And it's no wonder that Paul, who calls himself a servant, is so passionate about proclaiming the gospel, and that these words are not distorted or changed. The gospel, which is for all, and which is for the church, the people of the church should also be passionate about proclaiming Christ to everyone. The next examination, and I said, look around you, look at one another. Paul is writing with thanksgiving and prayer, but equally with a message to remind them of the path they need to be walking, of the truth of the mystery that's to be revealed, that has been revealed. Now, we come with questions and we want answers, don't we? We like it straight and to the point. I have a question, I want an answer. And it's with closer examination of ourselves, time spent with God and with one another, that the maturity in Christ that Paul speaks of will grow. Now, as many of you know, I spent many years looking after children, and I think their questioning has probably rubbed off on me. We can often think that their questioning is silly or daft. And according to research, girls aged 4, have a guess, how many questions do you think they ask a day? 50. Apparently it's 390 questions a day. No wonder we go, ah. And here are some of the questions that children have asked God when given the opportunity. Dear God, are you really invisible or is it just a trick? Dear God, is it really hard for you to love all the people in the whole world? There's only 4 in my family and I find it really hard to do. Dear God, there isn't school in heaven, is there? Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you've got now? This is the last one I'm going to give you. Dear God, why is Sunday school on a Sunday? I thought it was supposed to be our day of rest. But perhaps they're not quite so silly and daft. And often when children came and asked me questions, I found myself asking 10 other questions to get an answer to be able to give them. And of course, they didn't need that depth. But in order to give them a good answer, I felt I needed to ask more questions. And looking back at some of those questions that I've just shared with you, are you really invisible? Now, our passage today explores that in verse 15. So the Son is the image of the invisible God. And later in the passage, the mystery now revealed, verse 26. Then you ask, what is the mystery? Verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is it hard for you to love everyone, God? God's love is greater than we can comprehend. When we look at the Bible and see that it's his reconciliation that comes to those who were once alienated from God because of their evil behavior in verse 21. But now, through Christ's death, we are reconciled. The hope of the gospel, the truth. Was it hard for him to see his son die on the cross? I personally can't think of a greater and deeper pain. So, God, is it hard for you to love everyone? I find it hard to even love the 4 in my family, he said. And the reality and the honesty of being human and faced with this reality. Who is God? Imitate him. Imitate Jesus. Find instruction from and seek his wisdom. We could go on, couldn't we? Looking at those questions that the children asked and actually what's deeper in that that we also want to know. And when we come together as church, we are able to grow stronger in our faith by examining ourselves, examining our thinking, examining our assumptions, examining our questioning, and going deeper with Christ as we seek to grow in maturity day by day through Christ who dwells in us, that all may know Christ proclaimed in our lives and in theirs. May we remember to imitate Christ, seek God's wisdom, not to be instructed, but to understand God's love and justice in our lives and in the world. And be prepared to examine ourselves with one another, that we may follow the right path that Paul so passionately proclaims in his letter to the Colossians. Let's pray. Father, as we seek to proclaim your word to others, just as the early church in Colossae, may we seek to imitate you daily. May we join in with your mission to see others come to you while seeking to grow ourselves day by day in you. Amen.